Before we start this episode, I would like to mention that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. To celebrate throughout the month, Midwestern Seminary is sharing the many stories of God's work through faithful pastors. As a way to bless a pastor this month, enter him to win a $10,000 Pastor Appreciation Giveaway, half of which is dedicated to a family vacation and the other half dedicated to a need in your church. Don't miss the many bonus gifts we're giving away as well. Bonus gifts include prizes for the pastor who receives the most recommendations from his church, the pastor who has served in ministry the longest, and more. We pray many faithful pastors would be blessed and encouraged this month. For more information, go to mbts.edu/pastors.
Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome my friend Dean and Sarah to the podcast. Dean is the founding and lead pastor of City Church in Tallahassee, Florida, where he leads the vision and preaching ministry of the church. Additionally, Dean has authored several books, including The Unsaved Christian, Reaching Cultural Christianity with the Gospel. Dean, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you. It's great to be with you at my alma mater, Midwestern Seminary.
I was about to say, so good to have you back on campus, and we're grateful as you as an alum. And what year did you graduate from here?
2016.
I know it was pretty early in my tenure here, and man, this is great to have you on campus. We're recording this podcast in the context of the Fourth Church Conference. And I know you've been a part before, but this year you're a plenary speaker and have done a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you. This conference is fantastic. I was just telling you earlier before we sat down together that there's no slowing down with this conference. People are here. I met someone from Washington State.
Yeah.
People are from all over. So it's just really been a blessing to the church in general. And it's really a significant thing.
Yeah, I love it. It's two of my favorite days of the year. And there's a certain glorious mayhem to it. I mean, God blesses every year with, you know, we sell out the conference. And then we sell beyond the sellout. And so you go in there to preach, and as you've experienced and I experienced last night, and people are sitting on the floor, people are sitting in the window seals, people are sitting in benches brought in. And so it is so rich of an environment.
And want to be in there.
And want to be in there, yeah. Some conferences you go to, like a third of the people in the room, two-thirds are, you know, a third's in the room, a third's in the exhibit hall, a third's like somewhere in a restaurant.
Yeah,
you
know, not
like
here.
Everyone is in there.
Everyone's here.
And I mean, the singing is just so rich.
It's great.
I love the singing, hearing all those voices. It's so very
sweet. You need to come to For the Church, for those of you listening right now. It's worth your time. It absolutely is.
Well, you're kind. This is just reflections here impromptuly, but it is very sweet for me as president to get to see it on our campus. And again, there's a glorious mayhem. People are just everywhere.
Glorious mayhem. I love it.
It's great. Speaking of glorious mayhem, you're a church planner.
Yes. And,
tell us about the story of City Church. And for our listeners, I want to take the conversation here shortly to equipping college students, and you'll know how we connect the dots here because City Church is in Tallahassee, Florida State's close by, a lot of college students there. But let me back up even before you tell us the story of planting the church. Tell us your story, where you grew up, called to ministry, and then kind of give us the journey towards planting a church.
I'm from Tallahassee, where I pastor now, and I was raised mainline Protestant and not one of the remnant kind of faithful kind, just really kind of anything from liberal theology, which I didn't know what that meant when I was 13 years old, all the way to just what I call a gospel-less church. So I never had anyone tell me that I was a sinner who needed to be saved. You know, I was told to be nice to my sister and be kind and share and, you know, those kind of things, but never actually heard the gospel. I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes retreat when I was 13 years old, and I heard the gospel for the first time. Mm. And I became aware then that if you'd asked me if I was a Christian before that, I would have said yes. I said, of course I am. And my reason for believing so was that I was a good person in my eyes, and I believed in God, kind of a generic theism.
Right.
And I came from a Christian family in terms of the fact that we weren't atheists or agnostics. We weren't Jewish, Muslim, or Buddhist. So in the South, it means what? You're a Christian.
You're a Christian.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, but I heard the clear gospel that day and realized I needed Christ. And they gave a classic invitation. I'd never seen one of those before. And I went forward and gave my life to the Lord. And then ministry-wise, I got thrown up pretty quickly in front of people to share my testimony, probably too early. So I just started getting opportunities to lead and to speak and to be up front really early in life, like early teenage, mid-teenage years, and was president of my FCA in high school. So everything was just kind of a trajectory, more than a calling. It was like a life trajectory towards what I'm doing now.
And you mentioned FCA. You were a high school athlete.
Yes. I played catcher on my high school baseball team and played football as well.
In which position in football?
The linebacker and tight end.
You like a linebacker, yeah. Dean. Yeah. I could see that. I can easily envision that.
Yeah, which means you're too slow to play DB and too small to play D-line. So it was perfect
choice for me. So was that Leon High School?
Leon High School in Tallahassee, the oldest high school in the state of Florida.
Okay. I have been to Leon High School.
You have.
Before.
We were meeting there as a church.
That's
you
right.
preached.
I have preached in Leon High School.
That was great. Yes, you have. That's awesome.
So then say a word about the call to ministry. You mentioned a trajectory.
Yeah, more than a moment. Or I didn't have some, you know, you'll be at events sometimes. So I think it's wonderful where people kind of give a call to those who may be called to you know, kind of symbolize that or come forward. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that kind of moment. It was kind of more of a trajectory. It was like the whole kind of story of my life was pointing towards this. So it was like the Lord just kind of taking me on a path where that was what was in front of me. So all decisions in my life were based on moving forward in that.
And then planning the church, give us a sense of the seasonality of that, both your in your life and just like what year was that, and then kind of how that began to come together in the early stages.
Yeah, season-wise, I mean, it was before church planting was really popular. It was kind of, unless you're going to some big, huge city and being sent from the South to LA or to Vegas or New York.
Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere like that. It was sort of viewed as rebellious or competition, or you couldn't make it in a real church. It was kind mm-hmm. of—
Or you're presiding over a split.
Yeah, something along those lines. But I just saw a need in Tallahassee. This is before Kevin Ezell was at North American Mission Board. We didn't know what a sending church was. I didn't know any of that lingo, anything. I loved all that. And we got some friends together in my parents' living room because their house was bigger than mine, about 20 people. And I think seven had my last name, so they had to be there. And we said, what would it look like for this in Tallahassee? We just saw a need because there really was not much attention towards college students. We believed that we needed a gospel preaching church. Of course, there was definitely gospel preaching churches in Tallahassee. There's some great churches in Tallahassee, but there weren't enough gospel preaching churches that also were white hot for mission in our city. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be both of those. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying we're the only one doing that. There was definitely exceptions, but there was not enough. And that was really the catalyst to get going.
And so what year was that?
This was in the summer of 2007.
Summer of 2007. So nearly 20 years ago.
Yes.
And you mentioned 20 people in your folks' living room. And then give us a little sense of the chronology and what the Lord has done over the years.
Yeah, so we got together and prayed and kind of cast vision, said what could be. It was basically a glorified Bible study with an end in sight. Like, we want to get to the place where we're starting a church. And we started at a fellowship hall of a church in town because we had no sending church, had no support. So we couldn't lease out a you know, storefront, or we couldn't do anything along those lines. So we're like, maybe a church will help us and allow us to use their building. Well, churches, of course, use their building on Sunday mornings. So we started meeting on Sunday night in a fellowship hall at a local church in town that doesn't even exist anymore.
So are you working like a job then during the day?
Or? No, I was a youth minister, and by the grace of God and the leadership of the pastor there, they allowed me for about 7 months to stay on my salary.
Okay.
They didn't plant us. They had no kind of category for that at the church, but they just wanted to make sure that I was okay and my family. So for about 7 or 8 months, I stayed on my salary. And then we had a family friend. Like, I'm from Tallahassee. We were sitting down having lunch together, and we're trying to run out of school auditorium. That's just a great place for a church to start. That was pretty close to Florida State, and it was so expensive. I had no idea how expensive it was. And we sat down for lunch that afternoon, just kind of catching up as family friends. And he goes, hey, you ever going to start that church you were always talking about? Because if he'd asked me when I was 15 years old, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'd say plant a church in Tallahassee.
Okay.
So, yeah, my whole life's been about that. And I said, well, yeah, but I don't really know how we're going to get going. We're sort of meeting at a Sunday night at a fellowship hall with a few people. But the auditorium at the school is just too expensive, so I don't know what we're going to do. He goes, well, how much is it? And I told him it was $1,000 a week. And he was like, $1,000 a week? Now it's much more than that.
Right, right.
And he said, wow. And he got out his checkbook and hand wrote a check for the entire year to City Church.
Are you serious?
Handed me across the table, and we started the next week.
Wow.
And that was not the point of the meeting. We were just getting together to catch up. Yes. That's
how you might give me that guy's cell phone number.
Yeah, for real. He still goes to our church to this day. I saw him on Sunday.
Yeah. Have an institution he may want to support.
Yeah. And what's neat, though, he said, do you think my kids, I grew up with his kids, they're adults, you know, now, but at the time they said they were in their 20s like I was, do you think they would go to this? Because they weren't engaged in church at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, absolutely. I'm starting it for them.
That's so sweet.
And then he comes to this day. So last week he was there. His father's in his 90s was there. The man who wrote the check is probably 70. And then his adult son, adult daughter, and his grandkids all at City Church together.
Oh, that is
so
sweet.
Just really neat.
So then get us over the intervening 18 years from that check, from those conversations to where we are now.
So we had a lot of college students walk in the door first. We wanted to reach students, but not exclusively. We were very, very far from multi-generational church the first couple of years. I didn't like that, but at the same time, we're reaching college students. They're getting baptized, they're coming to church. But the hope was that one day we'd be able to be a church for all of Tallahassee. But we'd have a family walk in the door, and we'd be like, a family, and everybody's right. So excited. And they would say, hey, we love the service. We enjoyed the sermon. Everyone was so nice to us. We like the music. We just don't have anything for our kids. We're like, can you help us start it? It's that kind of idea. And finally, a few families gave us that chance. And that was a big move for us when people started graduating from Florida State, getting married, and staying in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that allowed us to start developing. And then it just started going full speed ahead. We have had a Sunday morning location in 17 different locations since we started.
Wow.
I don't recommend that, by the way. That's anything from growth to affordability to getting kicked out, you know, all the above. So it's been a really neat story of that. Early on, I remember in the Purpose Driven Life Purpose Driven Church. And that was like the big church planting book back in the day. Warren made the joke that we used to say, if you can find us, come join us. And that's kind of how it felt for a minute. But now it really is become a fully multi-generational church in Tallahassee. And there's kind of three main areas of focus that I think about and I tell our church about that I want us to be about. And that is the campus, because they're here. Like God brings that many college students to Tallahassee. Second is the capital. Like we're the state capital of Florida. So much happens there. And we have so many church members who work in politics, who work in state government. We want to be faithful to reaching the capital. And the third, we call it the cul-de-sac to keep the seas going.
Yeah, that means
the family.
Yeah.
So the Lord has opened a wide door in all three of those areas for us. And the church is really thriving with reaching those categories.
Well, that's great. So just broadly speaking, like what is the size of the church these days?
Our church is almost 3,000 people on a Sunday, on a regular Sunday. And it's just to, for our listeners, for perspective, just what the Lord has done. And I can't explain it. It's not some false humility outside the Lord. A big church in Tallahassee is about 600 people.
Yeah.
Like that's considered like mega in Tallahassee. So to be a church that's well over, you know, 2,800 people on a Sunday is pretty crazy. We had 6,000 people at Easter.
Yeah, I love the Easter picture you often post.
It's at Florida State's basketball arena. And these are people bringing their friends. So this is not somebody from all the other churches in town coming together. It's one local church having an Easter service. And people bring their friends who are open to go because it's Easter Sunday. So rather than harping on them for being at church once a year, we tell them about Jesus.
So I want to dig into students and college students in particular here. But for the church now, let's just use round numbers. Say if 3,000 people are there on a good Sunday, like how many of those are college students these days?
I'd say about 20%.
Okay. So 500-600 there. Mm-hmm. And again, you mentioned those early years, it was a much higher percentage of college students.
Oh, much. I would say it was 90.
Okay. And give us a sense as to just the ambient kind of spiritual feel of Florida State University.
Florida State is a state school, obviously, but it's also one of the more liberal state schools. Where because they don't have like a very established in the past school of business where you're kind of multi-generational Florida families would always go to the University of Florida. That was kind of how it was for a long time. Florida State was more the arts, social work, education, you know, more kind of traditionally liberal disciplines and study. A lot of campus ministries, none of them booming. None of them, some of the stories you hear about campus ministries are thriving all across the country. Florida State's are all just kind of steady, you know, 100 kids, 75 kids, you know, kind of idea. And there are also a lot of Catholic students because they come from South Florida, which is very largely Catholic. Those who have church backgrounds. So it really is kind of all over the map. And what we see happen is if the Christian students traditionally that do come to campus, they will get more involved in a campus ministry than they would in a local church. So we said, we want to change that. Not to go against the campus ministry, we will partner with them, but to say we want these Christian college students to anchor their lives in the local church while they're here, to be a missional force on campus together, to reach as many people as we can with the gospel on Florida State's campus. So I would not say that the religious climate is very strong at Florida State. And honestly, we're trying to change that. That's what we're praying. And we're seeing it happen. We had over 1,000 Florida State students at our campus launch for our college ministry service this year, which is just crazy. That has not happened at Florida State.
Yeah.
And so it's been a really neat thing to see.
And so that's the campus. As far as the Capitol, most of us, you know, who follow politics at least somewhat are aware of, you know, the reddening of Florida over the past 10 years especially. And if you're old enough, you remember 25 years ago, the cliffhanger, the counting of the Chads, and to see Florida over the past quarter century become redder. And so has that shown up in Tallahassee much as far as just the basic, okay, what's the vibe in Tallahassee?
We're the bluest county in Florida. Like per capita, I mean, as blue can be in our city government, which is so funny because our state capitol is very red and City Hall and our state capitol are separated by a crosswalk. Like that is it. And the miles of ideology in between that little crosswalk is deep and wide. But we have a lot of people who are in the governor's administration, the governor and his family is connected to our church, that are a part of our church family. And we want them to know that we are behind them, that we believe in what they're doing. We're thankful that as Blizzard, we're talking about the people that are surrounding our governor right now. Most of them are City Church members, and these are actual like convictional Christians, like believers in Jesus Christ. So we want them to know that we're for them and we believe in them. We don't think what they do is taboo or we're not going to pretend like it doesn't exist. We get that feedback. We've heard people say, you know, this is the first time in my life I've ever felt like that the church actually values my work.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so we think that we call them, you know, first principles, permanent things, as T.S. Eliot called them, that those are actually gateways to evangelism in a political town. So we talk a lot about gender and sexuality. We really got involved in Amendment 4 in Florida, which was the most radical abortion bill like you've ever seen. I know Missouri had one too.
Right.
The most radical abortion bill that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, no parental consent up till all 9 months. I mean, just radical, radical. And we partnered with the governor's administration to try to stop it. And by God's grace, it did. But we had a lot of those people who are acting on those things, who are giving their full-time jobs to those kind of efforts, are members of our church. So we really want to say, hey, we want to be a place where people who are coming to Florida to do significant things, that they find a church home with us and can thrive in the local church while they're here.
As far as ministry in Tallahassee, again, we all read about the migration of Florida, and a lot of that is elderly, and a lot of that is coastal. In Tallahassee, where you are, is there much of that you're experiencing on the ground, the mass migration?
No. No, it's Tallahassee, though, is unique because since we're the capital, people come from all over the state to live there and work. It's not a migration from other states, but come to Tallahassee to work. And the further south you go in the state of Florida, culturally, the less southern it gets. So the panhandle is kind of the culturally southern part of the state. So if you're a generational Tallahassean, you're pretty southern. But so many people come to Tallahassee from Tampa, Orlando, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, which has no Bible Belt at all. And then you have so many people that come to Florida State because of the state university who graduate and stay. So there's a kind of a hodgepodge of people. There's your generational Tallahassean who's southern. There's your person who came for state government and stayed forever who's not from Tallahassee and is more Florida kind of guy. And then there's the college student who stays. So that's that kind of collection of people in Tallahassee. It's not very big, but it always kind of stays around 300,000 people. And there's no suburbs in Tallahassee. Like there is no Lenexa, there's no, you know, there's no Liberty, there's no, like there is around Kansas City. It's just Tallahassee and Leon County where we live. So the mission wise, you have to be mindful of those kind of different groups that are here. You have some that have a Bible Belt influence and background. Then you have some that are coming from South Florida and really never been in church before. But the historic church in Tallahassee, the legacy church, is very mainline Protestant. So that kind of liberal theology that leads to no theology in the next generation is really prevalent in the city. So you have to pay a lot of attention to people who are 45 years old, whose grandmother was a pillar at the Episcopal Church, but they'd never been in church besides Mother's Day, you know, really in their lives.
So thinking about college students, you know, several weeks ago now, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And there have been reports of stirrings on campuses and, you know, more young people, you know, maybe showing up at church. Are you seeing any of that?
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
So unpack that for us.
The day after, Turning Point FSU chapter had a gathering, like a vigil, and they asked me to be the speaker at it. So I got to go, and I just want to encourage them the scriptures and tell them to keep fighting the good fight, you know, they're doing. And the most important thing about Charlie was his faith.
Right.
You know, more than anything else, the way you can honor Charlie is by holding on to the truth, you know, the scriptures. But we saw college students really, really show up. We had our second largest attendance in the history of the church the Sunday after. Now, we hope that lasts and that stays. Right, it's always unpredictable in our culture. It's very emotional. You know, it's quick to, you know, after September 11th, everybody was Christians for about 5 minutes. The kind of things. So we're hoping this has staying power. And I hope that what we saw from the funeral in Arizona, that those kind of things will really just continue to send that wave of what we call revival. You know, that's my prayer and my hope. But yeah, we saw college students that really are. So the people, it's almost like if you're a Christian at Florida State, like actually like follow the Lord, you can't be in some kind of murky middle. Like either it's just not an easy place to be a Christian. So you're going to follow Jesus or you're not. So the ones that really are serious about their faith, I think this even gave them a whole new level of courage, you know, and motivation and urgency to be for the gospel on campus. So we absolutely saw that. And as a church, we wanted to come alongside them and support them.
So again, you've been leading in the Tallahassee area for, let's say, 20 years, use a round number, nearly 20 years. How have college students changed over those two decades? And again, in 2007, again, not exactly, but you're right there at the dawn of the smartphone, at the dawn of social media. How have college students changed?
Yeah, they're definitely a lot busier. And they seem they always have something going on. At least they claim they're busier. You ask any of them, how you doing? They'll always say they're tired and they're busy. You know, those are the two things. So if we put 800 things on their plate.
I must be a college student.
I can relate to that. But if you put 100 things on their plate, it's not going to work. You know, so we're asking them to commit to certain things. But also I'm seeing the college students who really want to be a part of something. The word movement's kind of overused, but they want to be part of something like that, that matters and that has some staying power. They also can be just, they're really easily influenced. So they're going to be around one group of people that can change their thinking really quickly. They're going to be around another. They're very impressionable, you know, I've learned. But they also want to be mentored, and they want to be around people older than them. But the one difference I've seen between maybe when we first started the church to now is just how they're always just so busy. And of course, they're very attached to their phones. Those things are all just realities. But they often seem overwhelmed. They seem anxious. So if there's ever a time to be a part of a local church and grounded in Christ, I think we have a wide open door for the message. You know, in the hope that we offer, because they're all just pretty wound tight right now, it seems like, just because all the things going on, from family pressure to pressure of this world, to self-imposed pressure, to social media pressure, that's all stuff they put on themselves. But that's just something you can't minister to college students without being really aware of.
And look, I know you would point to the Lord's kind providence on the church and on why the church has grown as it has. But there are a lot of congregations near campuses that have remained small, even with college students all around them. The Lord used human means in his providence. As you look back on the past 20 years, is there anything you see or you identify in hindsight? Man, the Lord seemed to use that. That mentality, yeah. That outreach, that intentional gathering, that, you know, style of ministry, approach to ministry, that ministry act or moment. What have you seen along those lines?
Yeah, well, I do think we filled a vacuum at the time that was needed in Tallahassee in terms of a church really trying to go all in for college students. There's been happened before over history, but at the time there wasn't a lot going on. So I think that was a little bit of it. But then from there, I think the approach we took, we made like something as simple as bringing your friend to church like a huge win. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes college ministries, local church-based campus ministry, can err on the side of basically being a holy huddle, mm-hmm. where you give the college students just some friends for 4 years, help them find a wife and make sure they don't get in trouble, you know, kind of thing. We're like, no, we have you here to send you out every day. Like, this is the most opportune time of your life to be around more lost people you'll ever be around in your entire life. So just part of the conversation very, very early on was, yeah, we're going to care about theology. Yeah, we're going to care about doctrine. Yeah, we're going to care about all these things, but for the purpose of, you know, mobilizing you to go and be, you know, for the gospel on campus. So I really think it was that. I'm not trying to oversimplify, but that mindset is not that common often in campus ministries. Again, it can be very holy huddle, especially at Florida State. But we're like, no, we're going to be like a full force on campus. So our college students were all over the place on campus, and they were just fully immersed in the life of Florida State. So we had FSU athletes. We had sorority girls to all the way to business, you know, business majors, everyone under the sun. And we said, this is what it means to actually be serious about the Lord during this season of your life, is to be as immersed on campus as a light as you possibly can. So that was the mindset all the time. So it wasn't this kind of retreat mindset, holy huddle mindset. It was a go, go, go mindset. So people just always showed up with friends, and it became almost like an event in a good way, you know, for them to come to church and bring people with them. And then they heard the good news and joined the church and got connected and built relationships and are still on mission today. But it's that push, I think, that set us apart.
Now, as it relates to, you know, college students and church membership, you know, some may say, well, I'm only going to be here a couple of years. I'm going home this summer, and I don't know. My friends are going down the street. And how have you talked about membership with college students?
Yeah, well, my son's a 19-year-old freshman at Liberty University, and the first thing he did when he got there was look for a church, and then he just joined it. He went to their membership class. That's just a value that we have. So we do is we treat our college students the same way we treat everybody else. So if you're involved, there's an expectation for you, if you're going to call our church your home and you're a believer, to start moving through the process. So we have a great thing that I'm really proud of called our Student Leadership Program. It's the best discipleship opportunity you can imagine if you utilize it. And it's for students after they complete their freshman year, where they become small group leaders in the college. We have peer-led college groups for our small group ministry. And to be one of those, and there's over 80 of them, you have to be a member of the church. So they have to actually go through the process. So we have college students serving in the church. So the all call we make is not, hey, we need people to serve in this ministry. Hey, adults over here. It's like, no, you're part of this. So from day one, we have treated them like they're part of the church, like part of the church family. And they have their own. We have a Tuesday night worship service that's a college service. But we also see them there on Sunday morning and push them to Sunday morning and push them to serve and be part of the membership process. So you really cannot make them this exception. You say, you're a part of this local church, and here's what it looks like for you, part of this local church. And we've seen they respond to it because they like identifying with something. They want to be a part of something. And the benefits of church membership, they can be part of a family while they're away from their family, which is a really neat thing.
So last question before we need to wrap this up. Not everyone's next door to FSU or a major state university. But there are a lot of colleges sprinkled around this country. Depends on how you classify them, how you count them, accredited, non-accredited, but, you know, startup. But, you know, think 7,000 to 8,000 colleges or universities, community colleges around the country. So what I'm saying is to our listeners, most of our listeners have a campus not that far away. What would you say to our listeners today about how we should be thinking, how they should be thinking about reaching the campus, how we should be looking at college students these days? What would you say?
Well, I think community college ministry is really underrated. Because there's so many people in communities the students are commuting, living at home, going to community college. And I think you need to rethink how you view your graduating seniors. Because in most places, most towns, I would guess, I'm just kind of going to take liberty here, but the majority of those people stay around. Mm-hmm. The majority stay in town. I think the statistics are people wind up never living more than however many miles from their parents. It's pretty short, I think. So rethink how you view that. So, okay, they're graduated, and we have nothing going on for college students. So what's going to happen? They're probably going to leave. There's a good chance they go to church across town and they stop going to church altogether. Sit them down, that group, and say, hey, this is your local church. You've been a part of this since you were 8 years old. You know, what would it look like for us to have you guys be the first to go forward? And we're going to start, not so you don't have some big, huge college worship service, start a small group, start a Bible study, bring your friends, and do whatever you can to let them know that their age group matters for this church. Like, we're not going to ignore you, and then you come back one day when you have kids. Like, it's going to matter now. You don't take on to staff that. I guarantee you that there's a couple of great church members who would love to invest, you know, once a week in a small group ministry for college students. So I would think target that first graduate. If you want to get started now, target that graduating group. That's a lot of them are going to stay in town. They're going to go somewhere else if you don't care about them or do anything. And you don't have to do anything crazy. Have a home cooked meal. Have it at somebody's house. Have it consistent, regular, and start investing in them as college students. That would be my first step that I would do, is the ones who are already here and graduating, and then mobilize them to go reach their friends.
That's a good word. Dean, thank you for your ministry. They're in Tallahassee, beyond Tallahassee, on the campus this week for our Fourth of the Church Conference, and to us today on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you. I'm proud Midwestern alum.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.